Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, when we hear the Miami fight song, it means we have to go. It's in the rules here. Have to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, because after the fight song, we hear this voice from the NFL Network, our buddy, Cleveland guy, Chris Rose. Chris, welcome. First of all, we know there's a lot of stuff going on where you are in Southern California. Are you and your family okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're all right. We're packed up and just ready to go if something happens. And there was a fire that popped up this morning about a mile from where we are, and we think there's been mixed reports, but we think that it's been contained. But yeah, what you've seen on the screen really can't even do justice for the devastation that's happened out here in a lot of, you know, older, long-standing communities. It's just, it's tragic what's happening. Really, really is kind of ripped the soul of the city apart. So we're just trying to do the best we can out here.
Wow. The winds, I just saw the LA Times, 100 miles an hour? Is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is a storm that hasn't happened in over a decade out here. And that's been the biggest problem, is that usually they can attack these things from the sky, right? They get these planes and choppers that can scoop and, you know, put the water on there, but that's not what's happening. Just because the winds were so severe, they weren't able to do it overnight. We're hopeful that in the next couple hours that the winds will subside to the point where it'll make those planes and helicopters effective. So that's kind of what we're all waiting on.
All right, well, our thoughts are with you.
Yes.
Yeah, hang in.
Thank you.
And stay safe. Before we get to your conversation with Shane Bieber, which I'm really intrigued in hearing about. Andrew Berry spoke to the media the other day, mentioned a new injury, tweaked injury, whatever. He was vague, didn't have a lot of details about Deshaun Watson. When you heard that news, your reaction was what?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much I expect him to be a part of the future. I know he has to probably be on the roster next season, just if you follow the financial chain of this whole thing. I expect somebody different to be the quarterback that's not currently on the roster next year. And that's that. I didn't have as much of a reaction as I probably should have, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense. Yeah, and I thought the same thing, because I don't know that any of us were thinking he was going to be the guy next year anyway, even just injury-wise, let alone play-wise. So it's intriguing moving forward, just because there are so many options available to them. You know, draft pick, free agent veteran, free agent young guy, a lot of different things they can do. They just got to, you know, they better nail it, Chris, right? You're in the position where you can't miss now.
Well, I'm not going to agree with that necessarily.
All right, why?
I think because you know, people think that because we're picking second that we have to go with a quarterback.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was you better nail whoever's playing quarterback next year.
Yeah, but the odds of it happening, I think, are so... I don't think there is... Like, Sam Darnold is a... How often does that happen, where you get a guy that totally turns around his career from virtually just quarterback vagabond who was going to pounce from team to team as a backup to what he has become for the Minnesota Vikings? And you can't put Baker in that. I mean, Baker ran laps around him in Cleveland. All right, those guys weren't close to one another in terms of the success at this level. Darnold was a turnover machine. So how often does it happen where you pick a guy off the scrap heap and he turns into what Darnold has turned into? It just doesn't happen that often. Now, Kirk Cousins, that could be interesting, because that's a guy who has been extremely successful at this level who knows if this year was just bad fit, poor performance, combination of the two. Does he still have anything left on the wrong side of 35? All of that. And then you throw the draft pick stuff into it. And I'm not here to throw a wet towel on the situation because, you know, when you pick second, you're like, man, we could get a game changer. I think we have to exhaust all options. You know, did I watch Shedeur Sanders play a lot this year? Yeah. Did I watch Cam Ward play a ton this year? No. Did I watch Drew Allard play some if he elects to come out? Yeah, and I actually thought the last couple of games he looked like an NFL-type quarterback. So I've done a little digging, and I can only tell you this, that one of the guys I really trust at our network, who real extensively covers the draft, my question was, my Cleveland people are worried there aren't two good quarterbacks in this draft. Hmm. He goes, I haven't studied the quarterbacks as closely as I will, but I've watched all of them enough to know that Sanders is absolutely not the guy, and I wouldn't touch Beck or Quinn Ewers. I need to watch Ward. I doubt Drew Allard comes out. If he does, he might be the guy. So what he's saying is that there's not necessarily two good quarterbacks here.
And not necessarily one, if he hasn't looked at Cam Ward that much yet, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, has he watched him? Yes. Has he studied the all 22s of every throw he's made over the last two years? No. That's how in-depth this guy does. He's going to study everything. So, at first blush, that's his reaction. And what that means is that I think the Browns have to consider getting a quarterback desperate team, a la the Las Vegas Raiders, to bite on something, where we can still get a very, very good player and get future draft compensation. I know it's not what everybody wants to hear, but I think it's something that we have to consider. Taking a quarterback at two doesn't automatically turn things around. It just doesn't.
So you had a chance to talk with a gentleman named Bieber, not Justin, yeah, but Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he's back. Is he glad he's back? And how's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he's very glad he's back. So let's start with that. It's out on the Rose Rotation. You can check it out. You know, just go to Chris Rose Sports, and there's links there. Also, our John Boy Media Baseball YouTube page, if you just want to sit down and watch the whole thing. You know, it doesn't surprise me. Like, I think part of this is that he felt comfortable with the team, comfortable with the training staff, comfortable with the expectations, comfortable with the fact that if he doesn't rebound the way he wants, he's going to get a second year out of this. You don't want to have to introduce yourself to a new staff, new training regime, the whole bit, while you're trying to come back from surgery. I think that's just the recipe for disaster. So the fact that he came back, I thought, was great for both sides of this. One thing we did talk about was when he knew he was shot, like when he knew that his arm wasn't working. So I think we've got the clip where he talks about kind of taking us down that road.
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, I knew the feeling. Whatever it was, I don't know, probably a multitude of factors, whether it was just opening day, adrenaline, cold weather, dry in Oakland, night game, you know, and whatever it may have been. I ultimately just chalk it up to I had a failing ligament, and I knew the feeling, and I had already addressed it via rehab. And so if my intuition was correct, probably around the fifth inning in Oakland, I knew that I would have to address it surgically, but I was in denial. I was in denial for a week plus, and you know, I was hoping it was just different game intensity, soreness went throughout my week in my bullpens, and just tried to make it work. And I think in the back of my head, I was, like I said, I was in denial, but potentially knew, you know, what the inevitable outcome would be. I made my second start. I had to know for sure and see if adrenaline would mask it up and give my body a chance to kind of scar over, and ultimately kind of opened up in the same spot, had to address it surgically. And I think I knew for sure in that Seattle start, it was bothering me from warm up one to pitch 85, 83, whatever it may have been.
It's a lot of pitches to throw when there's a problem there, right?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and if you guys remember his first two starts, he looked totally different than he did the year before.
Yeah,
he did. Totally different. And, you know, he's never been a guy that's thrown 96 or 97. That's not who he is. But when he was getting back to, like, 94 and then good bite on his slider, all that, you're like, whoa, okay, we're somewhere. And then you wake up the day after his Seattle start and you're like, Bieber's done for the year. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Where'd this come from? But we talked about everything. We talked about what it was like for him to sit on the rail and watch guys try and make a run to the World Series without him. You know, how challenging that was. How close he was to actually leaving. That part was fascinating to me. You know, so we really cover a ton of stuff. We had a little surprise drive-by by one of his teammates, which was fun. It's a good 40-minute conversation that if you need a little bit of that, you know, enjoy it.
Well, his spirits right now, like, where is he physically? What do you think? Yeah, so ready for what's next, right? I mean,
yeah, he wouldn't put a definitive date on it. He said that he keeps asking the medical staff, and they won't even do that. So he couldn't share that because they haven't shared it with him, really. But he was out throwing. You know, we did this interview in between the Jimenez and Naylor deal, so that's why there's no talk of Naylor, because it hadn't happened at that point. So this is right before Christmas, I want to say. And he was throwing, you know, he was extended, I think he told us, to 90 feet or something like that, and making good progress. So personally, in the experience that where I've been around guys who have had surgeries like this, I would expect him the back half of the season and treat it like it's a trade.
And again, where can everybody hear it, Chris?
Well, you can go, if you need to, just click a link on social media at Chris Rose Sports, whether that's on X or, you know, our Instagram, or if you just want to go YouTube and type in, you know, John Boy Media Baseball, Chris Rose Rotation, whatever it is, those are the easiest ways to get it. And like I said, it'll get you through a workout or drive from one side of the town to the other, as you're trying to contemplate what the Browns are going to do at quarterback, or get you ready for the Cavs Thunder, whatever. We're here for you.
And we retweeted that at CLE Talking Heads. So
thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Hey, hang in there. We're thinking about you and your family. Stay safe, okay, bud?
Appreciate it, gang.
Thanks, Chris.
So much.
There's Chris
Talk
Rose,
soon.
The Rose Rotation, the NFL Network, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.